The reading is from John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Thanks, Patricia. Now, as that was being read out, two of the children were here trying to work out how to put pieces of Lego together. They each had different bits, but couldn't work out how they could work together and put it into a bigger picture. And the world's like that sometimes about Easter. Each person's got a bit what the Easter story is about. But we've all got different ideas. Even you and I have different ideas about Easter. And I've asked to ask you about an image of Jesus being raised from the dead. What image or impression would you have? What would your friends have? What would the world have? So we have our first slide up. Here's some ideas that we might encounter just in us alone, and people thinking about Jesus being raised from the dead. In just a moment. There we go. So, what my friends might think. If they have no idea about who Jesus is, having somebody raised up from the dead can be quite a graphic image, can't it? This, the sentimental one in the middle, must be our mums, but everybody might think of this lovely stained glass window image. Some people in society might think there's giant bunny rabbits that only come resurrected during this time of Easter, but they go and hide away for the rest of the year. What my boss thinks, or what the people we know in our lives might think, they don't want to know anything more about it. What the average Christian thinks is that we only sort of get a glimpse and understanding partly what that story is all about. But what we know as true Christians here at St. John's Church is that the resurrection is all about Jesus coming alive again for each one of us today. But the two worlds collide and often mix the message up a little bit. So on the next image, this is lovely. Scary, but lovely as well, about a giant bunny rabbit cuddling and loving the world about him. And you might think, gosh, that's ridiculous. But the world thinks that about Jesus. We just think of him being this lovely, cuddly person that loves us and cares for us and nothing more about it. They forget all the power. They forget all the suffering and the sacrifice he went through. But in the same way, he does love us in that gentle way. And the next one. So we've got a bunny rabbit putting down the eggs and an egg putting down the bunny rabbits. See, the world has alternatives what to believe about Easter. But unless we put a Christian message in there, they'll always wrestle with the idea what Easter means for them and have no understanding that it's not really about those and things. I'm not saying that they're idiots, but often they think that we're idiots because we believe in something we cannot see. But we're not idiots, are we? We believe in the true message of what Easter is all about. But Easter, whatever we believe, leaves us something. So for Christians, it can leave us the specialness of the gift of life. But with the world, it can leave often things that we think are helpful, but maybe not be, as our next image shows. What a lucky break. Not only do we find the Easter bunny, but we catch him right when he makes mini chocolate eggs. Lovely. And then my chocolate egg doesn't taste anything like that. And the next image. This is what it's about. It's about coming to that tomb like John and Peter did. Not just walking to it, but they ran. They ran to it because they wanted to make sure that what had happened had really happened, just to affirm that everything Jesus said and done was actually true. And so the next image. So if the world out there is trying to spot the difference between Easter and the bunny rabbits and Easter and Jesus, can we spot the 10 differences? I couldn't find one around Easter. This is about baptism. But can we spot the 10 differences? Who give me the first one? The lightning is missing. That's one. You've got 10 more. The elephant is missing. That's two. The what? Brilliant. On the bottom, yeah, the band and the white man. Missing one done, Joshua. It's three.
Volcano.
There is a volcano, one of them. That's four. We're getting there. The man's facing a different way in the water. That's five. Yeah, the apples on the tree are falling off. And the other ones are getting into it. That's six. We've got four more. We're getting there. The clouds are a different colour. That's seven. Three more. The shark in the water. An obvious one there. Eight. Two more. We got the band. We're trying to cheat now to get us up to nine. But if we've only got eight, we need two more. Becky, can you spot one? The hat. Brilliant. That's nine. And the last one? Oh, come on. The what? Got that one facing the other way? Got the lightning? The what? Where's glasses? Which one's got glasses on? On the seagull. Oh yeah, that's 10. I wonder what that one was. But there is one more then. The beard. We just spotted 11 differences when there's only supposed to be 10. Have you got one more, Frida? Yeah, we got that one. Yeah. So we got 11 out of 10. And that's how easy it is, the difference between, about being patronising, what Easter is all about. We know the answers inside of us. We just need to help other people spot those differences. And so when people are looking at us, how we celebrate Christmas, although we enjoy the idea of the bunny rabbit and chocolate, especially for our children and for me, but we also have that important message that Easter is all about. Next picture, Christ coming out of the tomb. Okay, but for most of us, there's a danger, of course. Next image, and the last one, is that we often just find ourselves looking in. And what we need to do is to enter into that story so it becomes real for us as well. Now, when Peter and John were racing to that tomb, who got there first? If you were listening, who got to the tomb first? It's 50-50. Peter! No, it wasn't. It was John. You got it wrong. Lucky. It was John. So, we're going to have a bit of a race this morning. You all right? Yay. He's brilliant. Okay. Going to have a bit of a race. So, I need two volunteers from this side and two volunteers from this side. Now, I know that you're not going to put your hand up to volunteer because you'd be idiots to put your hands up to volunteer if it includes a race. So, I shall pick you. So, Stuart, if you'll come out, sir. And I'll also pick... Abby's looking away now. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. No. But I will have... Janet. Brilliant. Janet and Stuart. So if you'll come out this side. Okay. You have to mind the toys there a little bit. Who can I pick from this side? Oh, the joy of being a vicar sometimes. It's just overwhelming. If I could have... Becky saying, please don't pick me. So, Becky, if you'll come out, please. Lovely. And is anybody called... Let's have a look. Let's have a look. Is anybody called Anne on this side? Is she called Anne? There is Anne. Brilliant. If you'll come out as well. Lovely. Okay. Now, this is a race. Okay. So, we're not betting people, but if you were to have a wager... Which one would trot across the line first at the back there? Ian is going to sort of hold his hands out. Okay, brilliant. Oh, she's taking it seriously. The boots are coming off. She's just warming up. She's stretching a little bit just to sort of get herself in practice. But being the true message of Easter and about eggs and stuff, it's not just going to be a simple race. It's going to be... an egg and spoon race. Okay, so let me get my spoons. But you'd be glad to know we're not using real eggs. Although I don't trust you guys. Okay. So here's your egg and your spoon. Egg and your spoon. There we go. Okay. Now it's not as difficult... as to the eggs, I want no fighting, okay? No pushing each other. You can't run, you have to walk, okay? And it's going to be to the doors and back again, okay? Are you ready? On your marks. What comes next? Get set. Go. And they're all, oh, Becky takes another lead, but Wendy's, Janet's chasing up for, oh, Becky's dropped the egg. But Janet keeps going, Stuart's hot on the tail, Anne's just taking it nice and easy. But Becky steams ahead of Janet, it's Janet, she's on the way back now. Becky's chasing down, oh, she drops the egg again. And Stuart comes steaming in, but the winner is Janet. Ah, Janet says she's never won an egg and spoon race in her life. I'm just heartbroken for you, but well done. We witnessed that you have won the egg and spoon race. Just like John and Peter, they couldn't wait to get there. That urgency, that joy, that hope in their hearts was just so overwhelming for them. We could never, never know what it's like to walk with Jesus and to know how he died on the cross and think he was dead. But then to realise he was risen again is absolutely mind-blowing. But these folks today just made us help us realise the urgency to keep on running that race for Jesus today is just so, so important. So I'll take your eggs back, though I think Becky's broke hers about 3 or 4 times. Thanks, folks. Let's give them a round of applause for volunteering. Out there, besides the cardboard and the tinsel, is in my box. And besides the egg, of course, little treats. Every little egg comes with treats, doesn't it? Now, when you were a child, not much older than these, of course, what did your folks do about sweets? That if you behaved yourself, you could have a treat. So, I'm sure these children have all been very good this week. You've been very good this week? Yeah, they've all been very good and done nothing wrong. But have you all been very good and done nothing wrong? If so, you can have this bag of treats. So who wants it? Who's been good all week? I can see some people sat on their hands, wanted to put their hand up for these treats, but knowing they haven't been quite as good as they could have done. And so in that sense, we're all going to recognise that we've all fallen short of what God has asked us to do, but he knows that. And such is his love for Jesus that we're able to now come to the Father and just say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Let me receive your forgiveness and let's move forward together in a better week ahead. So we got our confession on the screen here and we say together, Heavenly Father, you are so great. You know everything and you see everything. You saw me this week when I got up, when I went back to sleep, and all the time between, you were there too. You saw everything I did, even the thoughts I had and the plans I made. When I was helpful and kind, when I was mean and bad-tempered, when I thought of others in your world, you were so pleased. But when I hurt your world, you were full of sorrow, even angry sometimes. When I remembered you, if I thought of you or spoke with you or asked for your help with my plans, you were delighted to welcome me. But often I forgot all about you, and so I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the bad things I did and the many good things I just couldn't be bothered with. Forgive me today and help me to know the love you evermore. Amen. And so let me bring you the promises of Jesus, that when we say to him that we are sorry, he promises that he will forgive us our sins. That's his grace and that's his mercy. So be assured that in your hearts, when you offered him that prayer of confession, he took it and says, I forgive you.